Hi, I'm Ton Roosendaal. I'm the producer of Elephantstorm, also one of the main developers of the software we use to produce the movie. And we started this project almost a year ago. I first invited Bassam Kodaly and Andy Goroksik to join me in the whole preparation and pre-production phase. There's always a couple of months when you don't really know if this is going to happen, yes or no, but I wanted to involve at least two people from the community for advice and feedback and how to set up everything. And once we had everything okay and agreed on, we could go public. And then we did a public application. People could subscribe for being either lead artist or for a technical director.
And we were quite surprised by how many people applied to the project, and a lot of them were extremely good, so we had to kind of, you know, make a lot of decisions because we only had enough budget to have six people here, and so we picked people who had done at least one short movie themselves.
Well, we came into this really not with so much of an idea of how it will happen. We had a plan and we all had expectations, but when we all got here it was really amazing to be set up, but then we also had to work out how do we do this.
At the start of it was quite set up quite democratically, like we were trying to have equal input from anyone and get everyone's ideas, and it was hard to do that because we didn't know where our strengths lie. Now it's a lot easier because we know that, okay, Lee is like a great animator, so we'll give the animation jobs to him and we won't let him or worry about him modeling anything because other people can do it better or more efficiently. So we work much better as a team now, but when we started we were just completely lost and we didn't really know what to do.
We were also living in apartments and to also be with the team during work. And of course, live with the team. We became very close quite quickly, and then, of course, to be so much into this film and working so many hours on it, it's like we became brothers to just get this thing done.
Okay, the project is a co-production of Blender Foundation and the Netherlands Media Art Institute. Together we bring in about half the money, and the investment from the Blender Foundation is fully by selling DVDs in advance. So we could only do this project if we had sold about 1,000 DVDs 6 months before the movie was launched. And we did that. That was pretty smooth. So that's very unique because this project was part financed by the internet community. And if you have half the money, that's in the Netherlands sort of a rule, if you have half the money, then you can get the other half with subsidies and subsidy grants and all that kinds of things. So the rest of the half of the money is from funds like the Dutch Film Fund, the VSB Fund, the Mondrian Fund, and the European Union. Together, they added the other half of their financing.
Well, first we had to build a studio. We had to buy PCs and find network cables and install operating systems and decide on like what would we use for data storage and how would we work and how would we organize the files.
From the software side, we're running Linux on those boxes we put together ourselves and Mac OS on the Mac. And the primary creative tool that we use is Blender. In addition to Blender, the second most used tool is probably the GIMP. The GIMP we use for painting the textures, and it sees quite a bit of use from us. We do all of our animation in Blender. For this reason, Ton rewrote the entire animation system a few weeks before the project started. And after that, he continued to add more and more features in to make animation easier and faster for us to do. For editing the movie, we also use Blender. Blender has a sequence editor, which it's had for a long time, but the sequence editor in Blender was always only good for doing very small sequences, like a few shots. One of the reasons was that it used to cache everything into memory as it ran, and so if you had anything more than a few frames, a few shots, you would run out of memory very quickly, and everything would become extremely slow. You could hit refresh, and then you would have to cache again and wait for it to cache to get the next part, so it's quite tedious. But fortunately for us, another man who was doing a project, editing project, and he wanted to use open source software, made some changes to the sequence editor, and he edited a 2-hour movie with it, and he added such things as a, sort of a smart memory cache limiter, so it only caches what it needs, and then it dumps it to disk again, and so the memory usage never climbs beyond a certain amount. For compositing, we didn't have an open source compositing tool at the beginning of the project, but now we do, and that's the compositor that Tan wrote for Blender. And it is a really nice nodal compositor that sits inside Blender, enjoys a very tight connection to the renderer, so in many ways it has a benefit that a standalone compositor, even a really nice one, wouldn't have, because the integration with the 3D tool is complete, and it allows our artists to render things in layers, do post effects such as glow, blur, motion blur. The motion blur that is right now here that was coded for the project as well is, to my knowledge, unique. I don't know of any other application that does blur in quite the same way for motion blur. It's extremely fast. It's a vector blur technique, but it involves doing some very weird things like chunking out the image so it's 3D data again, but like a sort of a different kind of 3D data, and then moving those polygons around to get the blur. I can't really describe it completely, but I don't think that any other application does it the same way.
The most interesting aspect of the Elephant and Stream movie is, of course, that it has been realized with open source software only. This is, for me, the reason to start the project, because we want a way to validate and improve and test the Blender software. So the interesting aspect of this project is that it is only 6 months, 7 months now, and within that period we have to make a product. And by using only open source and having a deadline to really make a good movie, you got a lot of interesting things happening.
We also had some people who were very enthusiastic about the project, and they just helped us without being asked for the most part.
So there are people who help us doing textures, who give us source material or also model things for us.
And it's nice that it's also a bit more of a community, like we can log into the internet relay chat and they're just like friends, and you can say, oh hey, can you do us a favor, and they say sure, and they just go and code something and we're using it the next day.
It turned out it's harder than we thought, because you have to, if you are giving assignments for the outsider people, you have to trust them that they actually do it, and if you are having a huge deadlines and then somebody says, I can contribute, I can model this or I can model that, I can texture this, and then after the 2 days you don't hear about the guy anymore.
So the really good thing of the open source part was, of course, the online community of Blender developers. I mean, developers don't mind to sit all by themselves locked up in a little room and do coding. But for a creative project like this, you really have to get the artists together to do it.
Sort of like creating a story and creating a visual look and developing the characters and the whole idea of a movie. That doesn't like really work over the net. So that's why we have five artists and one technical guy, in a sense.
But other than that, it's special because it's an open movie, and like no other movie I've ever heard of, you can actually get all of the stuff to remake it yourself on the DVD. So that's probably the most special aspect about it. The rest of it, well, I'm not so sure. It's a 3D animation short. There are quite a few of those. Hopefully ours is a bit more interesting. There aren't like babes wearing bikini armor or aliens from outer space or like army men with guns. It's a little bit different. It's a little bit surreal.
The movie is about two guys and a bunch of weird little ducks lost in this gigantic machine that nobody knows where it came from or what it does, but these guys have to just live inside of it and see what happens.
You could say it's even a psychological drama, like the battle of two people's ideas about reality. Prug is trying to show Emo his world and convince him of it and let him be a part of it, but Emo is perhaps not so sure about what's going on and whether he chooses to go along with it all.
And in the end of the movie, Emo finds out that this is all bullshit. He doesn't really understand Prug, and he doesn't want to live in his reality. And in the conflict that arises, I think you already seen the movie, so Prug gets a stick and hits Emo, and then his own reality is restored.
The title of the movie, Elephant's Dream, is the second title. The first title we had was called Machina, or Machina.
And then we couldn't really decide on how to pronounce it, and that is where we came up with Elephant's Dream.
And the reason why it was called Elephant's Dream is really weird. It was with a little bit of beer, eating in a Thai restaurant. I was talking about some silly Dutch children's story. Because if you are a dad or a mother and you tell a bedtime story to your kids, then usually you make up stupid stories that have no ending. And just to make it having an ending, you say in the end, and then the big elephant came with a big snout and he blew the story out. And somebody, I forgot who, said, Elephant's Dream. And everybody said, Elephant's Dream. And then we had a little discussion about with or without apostrophe. So is it Elephant's Dream or is it the Elephant's Dream? But we decided to have it without, so it is Elephant's Dream.
Well, the two characters in the movie who are called Prug and Emo right now did go through a bit of thought and evolution before we got kind of these final characters.
We started doing the character designing first, of course, by drawing and throwing out all sorts of ideas what people had.
We had small ideas about what the characters would look like, but for example, Prug, we had a real idea of him being the of his age and kind of his general look. Emo, though, we had really no idea about, and we all had this different version of what Emo was in our heads. Maybe he was a much more or much less stereotypical character.
Emo radically changed. Well, like, we all had different visions of how Emo could look like, and at one point he was fat, and he was small, and then he was tall, and, like, his whole pose changed. But at some point, we just had to fix on something. We couldn't just keep changing the character.
I can't remember, was it in early meetings or whatever, and these kind of ideas of ducks being in the machine just came. And then I can't remember why I was kind of named for the job. But yeah, I was the guy, did most of the drawings and most of the modeling of the ducks. And at first, there was more ideas what we could use them for, but as the script changed, so did the ducks, and now we use them when we want the machine to do something that we can visually show what the machine is doing. We use the ducks for that, but they're also just funny side characters. So.
As we went through the design, we had many many different character designs, loads of them, and they were all quite different. And it was amazing to think at that point that whichever one we picked would completely change how the movie would look.
We had to come up with some sort of design that was that we could realize in 3D. So the clay really helped us in that. So that way we could quickly sculpt something, change shapes, instead of just having a piece of paper in front of you, and that helps a lot.
And after a while, came out to be the Prugunimo that you see.
But further, the design happened very natural. So we were thinking about how things could look, and then somebody proposed to make it more like communication devices. So this is how the switchboard was invented, and the phone room, and all that kind of things.
Well, none of the places that we see actually exist. So we were trying to come up with lots and lots of ideas very early on how we could construct this world.
We looked at older machinery like printing presses, things that would have this kind of a mechanical design and yet have a certain aesthetic to them that we could imagine someone finding appealing, finding it as a comforting thing at the same time.
And there's the elevator, which is which the underlying concept for was a giant zoom lens of a camera.
The story development was almost backwards for this project, whereas in a typical movie project, you first have the story as the launching point, and then everything else sort of comes together.
If there's one thing a movie should not do when it starts, it's not having a script. We know that, and we still didn't have a script when we started the project last September.
We also... Ton was quite insistent that we did a lot of animatics, like pre-visualized animation in 3D.
So we actually made three rough movies before we made the one that you're going to see. The first one we dubbed the Crappymatic, and it was using the characters' heads, but like every different person used a different stand-in body for them, and we just sort of moved them around like puppets.
And it was good in many ways. It helped us sort of see where things were going, and it was good like practice for us getting into the whole animation thing. But it wasted a lot of time, I think, in comparison to just storyboarding the whole thing.
The day we did the voice recording with the actors made really a big difference. So we managed to get, thanks to a great sponsor, to get two of the best Dutch actors, Tycho Gernout, Cas Janssen. We did a whole day, almost a whole day of recordings. We made awesome video material. And when we showed that in the evening to the artists, everybody felt totally silent. It was so good that they said, well, and now we have to start all over again. Because the acting of the characters was so good that we had to change the way they walk, and the way they look, and the way they talk.
What do you see at your left side, Emo? Well?
Nothing.
Really?
No, nothing at all.
Really? And at your right, what do you see at your right side, Emo?
The same Prug.
When we got that video back, it was an amazing time for the studio, because we were all huddled around the computer, watching these two guys saying the lines from the script that had been created months before. We were always, saying out the lines and jokes as we were working, and also we had some times we would act out the lines, and we kind of had this idea of how they would be, and the actors really took them and made them so much better than we could have dreamed of.
Tired? The machine is like clockwork. One move out of place and you're ground to a pulp. Pulp, Emo! Is that what you want, pulp? Your goal in life, Emo? Pulp?
How's that for a trap?
At the right side you can see, well, guess what? The Colossus of Rhodos! The Colossus of Rhodos! And it's here just for you, Vroog! Just for you!
When the sound started coming into the scenes, that was also a really amazing thing, because of course, once you add sound and music, it adds a whole new level, it adds a life to it.
Actually, sound and music is half the experience. Without that, we wouldn't have a good movie as it is now.
Well, don't you ever get tired of this?
Tired?
Yeah. Eno, the machine is like clockwork. One move out of place, and you're ground to a pulp.
Isn't it
like pulp, Eno? Is that what you want, pulp? Emo, your goal in life, pulp.
Now, creating a 3D animated movie isn't so bad. I mean, you might become very unhealthy and not sleep decently in weeks, but it's not too bad. And what should you never do? I don't know. I mean, I guess the most important thing to do is do it, and if you fail, then, well, big deal. If you don't fail, then that's pretty good too, but it's hopefully a bit of fun.
You know, I think for me, everything has been great, really. We've had some stressful times, but for most of us, and certainly for me, this is what I want to do.
I wouldn't mind to have immediately an Orange 2 and 3, or maybe get some commercial jobs to make some money, and then do a whole 90-minute movie with this team. That would be awesome. Of course, with a little bit more people, a little bit more money, a little bit more time. So I will work on that. After the project is over, I try to find a way to continue this, but it might be not possible in the very short term. So I need a little bit of time to get everything up and running. Maybe October or so, there might be another surprise.
Mate, this movie is going to be bloody bonza. It's a ripper of a film. Go and see it. It'll be dry as a dead dingo's donga.
This movie will contain lesbians.
And the task at hand that's the most important is to see that I have enough goddamn coffee around here? Somebody? Thank you. Jeez.
Ugh. I'm animating everything again I did yesterday because it sucked.
I think adding a bone fixes it, even.
Where did you add a bone?
Right there, that...
In edit mode? Yeah, of course that fixes it.
Oh, what are you, some kind of idiot, Bazaar?
Okay.
God!
Oh, stupid!
I drank a lot of beer and swam on Amstel. I've been dreaming of that since we got here, and yesterday I did it.
When you have complex dependency chains, Blender will evaluate all of them once. Art director?
And here you can see...
What's that? I want to kill you. Precious, I need the ring. Give me the ring, Precious.
Yeah, but I need to do some gamma correction for this monitor, otherwise I make everything too bright.
Blender is a very fast rendering program.
We'll speed this up.
As you can see.
I don't know, because today we decided to cancel the whole movie. We don't have a script. We don't have a good animatic.
The director quit.
We only have good music.
I guess next is the concept stage we got to, and
art director, this coffee is terrible.
Good, Basha. Just say it doesn't matter, because then we can work on.
Okay.
And when the movie is finished, when it gets out of the movie, you can
we'll fix it in post.
I still think that the clothes she's wearing is a little bit weird, Basha. And then you say, well, yeah, but it was a good movie, right? Yeah, it was a good movie.